So life is a learning process. It teaches you something every day.
Hi, I'm Anya Zaveri. Welcome back to The Story of You. I'm a student in grade 9 of Dhirubhai Ambani International School, and I think there is so much to learn from people's journeys and experiences. The Story of You is a podcast where I talk to kids, young adults, icons, and sometimes parents to know more about their dreams, aspirations, learnings, and challenges through their journey. In this episode, I talked to Ms. Rubal Nangi. She's a social worker, an award-winning, internationally acclaimed artist specialized in sculptures, art installations, and paintings. She's the founder of RNAF Foundation and many more projects like Misal India, the author of an inspirational book, Slum Queen. Not only is she an inspiration to many, but a role model from cleanliness to education, hygiene, sanitation, women and youth empowerment. She has helped people from all over India, and her story is truly inspirational. Thank you so much. So, you're born in Jammu and Kashmir. Could you tell us a bit about your childhood and growing up years in the valley?
Well, being born in an army officer's home, we call it army brat. So you can say that Jammu and Kashmir is home. I was born there, but brought up all over India. So you can actually say India is home. मैं हमेशा कहती हूँ ये देश हमारा है, the whole country is ours. But it was beautiful because, you know, if you've been to Jammu and Kashmir, it's Kashmir is called heaven on earth. So, you know, going back every year, twice or thrice to meet my grandparents used to be something that we all used to look forward to in my childhood, because father was posted on different cities in the country, and sometimes on the border, sometimes we get peace posting where family can go with him. So there are a lot of years that we have spent in Jammu and Kashmir where my father could not take us on the border to stay with him. So beautiful memories. And I remember visiting my grandmother's house, and I also quoted her in my book that a lot of things that I have learned in my life are blessings of my nani, that is my grandmother. And I think it was beautiful because, you know, when you go back home to meet your relatives and travel, and Jammu and Kashmir being, you can say, the tourist hub for so many people across the globe, it always, you know, every time I've gone back home, it has inspired me to come back with something, even in my childhood. So I think I have some beautiful memories of my childhood there, and I miss them. I mean, when you grow up, you sometimes feel that, why did you really grow up? Because those days are really nice, but we all have to eventually grow up.
I really want to visit Jammu and Kashmir.
You should.
So how were you as a student, and did you always know what you wanted to do? Because the students were often asked the question that, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? And it makes me wonder, are all successful short of what they want to be?
Well, you know what? I don't know if I always knew what I wanted to be, because at one time, my father was guiding, my mother was guiding when you're growing up. And at that time, you can say 35 years back, the most happening career lines were either be a doctor or be a teacher or be an engineer. Yeah. Architect, being an artist, being a social worker is completely no. And you know, all these lines were like architect, interior designer, fashion designing, author, being a singer or a dancer, or these kind of things were like a big no in my family, because I come from a conservative family. So my father always said, you know, I think my daughter is going to be a doctor. So I used to look at him and say, you know, it's not that I want to be a doctor. You want me to be a doctor. So it's not that I always knew what I wanted to be. But after, you can say, 6 or 7 years of my age, though it's pretty young even then, but I knew that whatever I do in my life, it has to do, or it has to be connected to service in my life. I will not just do something which has no meaning, in the sense where you're not connected to people and you're just doing a regular thing where, you know, you're not exploring, you're not in the creative world. So I always wanted to be on the creative side, because that's what I was from my childhood. But as my parents never thought of telling me about art and being an artist, I never thought that I could be an artist. It's only when I came to Kolkata now, after my father was posted there, and I went to Shantiniketan, first time I felt that vibe that, you know what, this is what I want to take up after 12th grade. that I wanted to do art. Before that, I used to participate in all the art competitions, win lots of prizes. And being a good student, I still remember and I still quote stories to my son that, you know, my teachers used to love me. I used to love them. And Rubel was like they say, the blue-eyed boy, blue-eyed girl among all the boys. So I always used to get a lot of love from my teachers. And you talk about school captain, school head, prefect, house captain. I had so many badges on my uniform, school uniform. So I think my schooling was just amazing. And I miss my teachers. I wish I could see them again. But I think it was just great and so much to learn from them. And even my friends in the school were really supportive. So we did a lot of activities. In fact, along with our studies, we did every extra activity, talk about essay reciting or participating in competitions or sports or cultural activities. Everywhere we were, it's like always have a group together, just go do it. So I have great memories of my school. And I think it is so important for every child to go through that, because a lot of parents today feel that, you know, why do kids need to go to school? And I tell them, it's not about just going to next grade. It is about experiencing that entire schooling. It's about sharing your tiffin. It's about getting scolding from your teacher and getting their love, getting their attention and making friends and then leaving them and going to a next city. Because for us, we used to leave a city in every 2.5 years, because my father used to get posted out. So you do lose out on a lot of friends. You don't really land up making best buddies because you lose touch. But that travel of every 2.5 years exposes you to so much that you kind of get so easy with meeting new people, exchanging your views with them. And there is no barrier that, you know, oh, I met them for the first time. So I think there is plus and minus to both. But my schooling was just amazing. I loved it. When you grow up, you sometimes feel that, why did you really grow up? Because those days are really nice. But we all have to eventually grow up.
You studied political science and then you went on to study fine arts in London. So did it differ in political science help, and did you do it as a backup?
Well, I actually wanted to complete my graduation because I got married when I had just finished my BCom first year, and I got married and I came to Mumbai. And my husband, of course, is pillar of my strength and most amazing human being. And my mother-in-law, in fact, being a woman, she didn't see me as a daughter-in-law. She saw me as a daughter, and she said, you're only 18 and a half. I think you must complete your education. She was also an artist. So I started working because she saw that I was very creative. So I started helping her in her art and making murals and learning from her. And then when one day she told me, you know what, I know artists can be self-taught as well, but it is very important to experience the college because you meet so many people. There's endless exposure you get. When you meet people, you discuss, you listen to them, you exchange your ideas with them, you learn so much. So you must study. So I did, in fact, almost both together, political science by correspondence and then fine arts as well. So I'm a big advocate for everyone. I say that going to school is extremely important. Going to college is extremely important. Not about just getting the degree. It is about learning, because what you learn, how you know, the years you have spent in school and college are something that you will cherish for life. I mean, you know, everything you will remember, even when you're a mother, even when you're a daughter-in-law, or you become old, or you're in your growing up days, you're busy in your work, but you'll always cherish that. So I think that was always my thing. So getting a degree mindset was something that, no, even with the fine art thing, I must do with political science. And I have a lot of interest in that subject. So I did both together because of that.
You know, students have so much pressure to get onto the best school, and there's Ivy Leagues and school rankings. So how did you decide your college and where you wanted to study?
Well, you know, till fourth standard, I studied in Hindi medium. I honestly couldn't speak a word of English. I wouldn't say a word of English, but like I couldn't converse in English till fourth grade, because father was posted in smaller towns where We had Kendriya Vidyalayas, which were at that time the schools that I started in were Hindi medium. And then I, my father got posted to Ballari, which is Karnataka, and in Karnataka it was English medium, and it was like a sudden change for me, where you're studying social science and you're doing your science and your maths, everything in English. So I did work hard, and I told my teachers that I have studied till now in Hindi, but I'm not someone who believes in giving up. So I'm going to try my best to cope up with this. You have to give me time, and please be supportive, because you know, it's not easy for me. It's like a sudden change and transformation, but I will give my best. So my first exams, I didn't get that great, but in my final exams, I came second. So my teachers also saw that, yeah, that the hard work she put in, where, you know, she's seen everything in one language and suddenly now she's been given another language. So I think it's all in your mind. It's all about how much you really want to give in and try your best. And in today's generation, where my son goes to school today and I see the mothers, and I always tell all the mothers who are connected to his school, and even in the slums and the cities that my foundation works, I tell them, please, you don't have to force your child to do something. Don't be in the rat race. Because if you are in the rat race, you're going to pressurize your child so much that he or she will not be able to focus on anything. Like I always say, you don't have to raise a kid. You know, you have to cultivate, you have to nurture your children and let them have their own choice. You guide them, because being parents, you've seen the world more than us. So you guide them. But end of the day, we parents sometimes forget that we are trying to make them something that we want. And in that, if the child has not achieved that, you'll say, oh my God, my kid is not learning. In my all my foundation centers, I always tell the women and the youth, I said, you come to me and tell me what you are good at, which subject you want to pursue, what skill you want to learn. Let's make doctor a doctor. Let's make engineer an engineer. Let's not make somebody who wants to be an engineer an architect, because he or she will never be able to do justice to that. So today, if we have the perks, we have the avenues to give that freedom to our children, to a child to explore and do what they like, I think that is the best thing you can do. Because when they learn something that they love, they would do, you know, magic. They would create magic in their ways of working hard, being dedicated to it. So I think that is very important. And you have to find that balance somewhere in between parenting and understanding what your child needs. Like I said, you don't have to raise a child. You have to cultivate values and support your child in growing up.
I think that was a really good insight. So in one of your interviews, you tell us that at the age of 4, your love for art grew. So how did you get started with loving art? And did you ever think that you would be a role model to thousands of people?
You know what, for me, it was not just art. It was about creativity. There are a lot of times that I would just pick up a little bit of sand and put some water and put some stones in it and make something out of it. At that time, I didn't understand that these could be taken as abstract sculptures. These could be taken as, could be converted into bigger installations. So I would just, you know, like kids play in the garden, kids play on the sand. I would play and make something out of it and bring back home. And my father would say, oh, this is really nice. And in school, I remember at the age of 4, I was given watercolors and I did a painting, which got me a lot of applaud. And, you know, at 4, you really are not, you don't really understand what you're scribbling and what you're doing. It turned out to be really nice. And my father said, for the first time, he told me much later, he said, you know, for the first time, I just used this word that I think you're going to be an artist. But that was not the career option which was given to us when we eventually wanted to choose. Like I said, doctor, engineer, teacher. And he said, I said that. And today, probably at that time, you know, God heard my what I said and it came true. But I was always, you can say, had more bent towards creativity. And then as you grow up, you understand that with creativity, how can you pursue this as on a longer term, how you can learn art, what are the different mediums of art, what are the different mediums you can explore. Like I, when I started practicing art, I started with 4 mediums, Today I touched almost 40 medium. So I kept experimenting one after that you can explore. Now that comes with time and patience. There are a lot of time. I've not succeeded when I've experimented and I've lost an entire piece of art. But that's all right. You know, that's exactly what I wanted, that if it turns out to be good, it's a success. If not, then let's try again. So that is what we did. But somewhere down the line, for me, it was always connecting to creativity. Anything I did in life, like even if I had people, my mother would invite people home for dinner, I would put the table properly, lay the table, and I would, you know, say, okay, no, let's not just put it like that. Let's just do some, you know, art. Let's get some artistic creative touch in that. So I always connected everything to creativity. That's why our foundation's tagline is also educating through art. That does not mean that we want everyone to be an artist. But somewhere down the line, in any profession you are, if you have a little creative mind, which you have, and you keep it alive, trust me, you are opening your mind to so much more, something that you haven't seen before. When you open your mind with creativity, you will be able to see it and you'll say, oh my God, this was right in front of me, but I never thought that this could come out of it. This could be this, right? So that was very important for me, that I had my mind open to accepting, seeing, and exploring things.
So in one of your interviews, you talk about art for me was a medium to connect with people. So how did you start with this initiative? And you in all your interviews and even at the TEDx talk in Ambani, you say that it's always hard to make that first step, to create that first step, to help anyone take it. So how did you take that first step in creating your journey?
See, for me, it was always about children. I love children. And for me, anything to do in life when it was in those years was also children. I said it in my TEDx talk also that when my father would drive me to school, I would see some children playing on the street sides and working on these small little vendor shops and not going to school. And that is their age to study. That is their age to go have fun with children in school, not work on streets or beg on streets or work in smaller shops. So my father would say, it's okay, you know, we'll talk about this later. Let's drop you to school first. So for me, that was always the focus point. I honestly didn't know that I would become a social worker and I would do this. I knew that through art, I definitely want to do something more meaningful. But that meaningful would take me to this line that I wasn't aware of, because when you are not from one city, and you've explored different parts of the country, you have a lot of ideas which are going on in your mind. And when I came to Bombay, and in 2016, we launched Paint Dharavi. That was beautification project for Dharavi. And at that time, when you are in the slums all the time, like 2016 is the time when I started going every day. Like, you know, the day I decided that, okay, now it was earlier 60%. And now it is going to be 99% that I'm going to work on ground and meet people and try to see what we can do for them. So I did 5-6 years of foundation work and, you know, did workshops and did many drives in small balwadis and learning centers I went to. But then 2016, after Paint Dharavi, I said, no, you know what, now this is going to be a full-time job, because if this is what I really want, because I had known much before that in 2004 or 2005 that this is what I really want to do, and this is where God was taking me, that when you always said that you want to do something meaningful through creativity, connect to people and break that barrier, so this is what it was, you know, you got your own answer. And after Paint Dharavi was all about beautifying the slum, talking about toilet use, hygiene, sanitation, and why we should keep our slums and our basties and our villages clean. And in 2018, when we launched Misal Mumbai, now when you have worked for 2 years in a slum day and night, you understand that these are the problems these people face and how you can address it. So to address those problems, we launched Misal Mumbai, which became Misal India within a year, because everybody loved it. And, you know, across the country, people replicated the project. I remember sending emails and WhatsApp and couriers to people that, okay, you can do this, get the database for children who are not going to school and how women want to work. So Misal was that holistic approach where we talk about cleaning the slum. We talk about not only beautifying, Pain Dharavi was beautifying. Misal was transforming. How will an area get transformed? The area would get transformed when 100% kids of that area are going to school. When you have cleaner lanes. When people know how to use toilet. Because in slums, people don't have, not all of them have toilets in their house. After Swachh Bharat, a lot of toilets were built, which was a great initiative. But before that, this was before Swachh Bharat. So we taught them all these things. Women, a lot of women wanted to work, but they didn't know. We have kids to take care. We have family to look after. How will we go out and work? So we started skill centers for them in their slums. We told them, you come and learn here. And then once you've learned, if you want to work outside, you're most welcome. Or you can even work with us. Not all want to work, but not all do not want to work. So we kept it open that if you want to be a housewife, that is great. My mother has brought three kids as a homemaker, so which is great. But if you want to work, we are giving you the platform. Like I always say, you take that one step, I will take you 100 steps forward. So it came out of our skilling centers. But I told them very clearly that that first step you have to decide, because there's no going back. There's something that I've always believed in life, that when you want to do anything, anything, you give your 100%. So that you tomorrow will not regret whether you fail or succeed. At least you will not regret that you didn't give your 100% to do something. So I tell them, how does it matter if you fail 10 times? 11th time when you succeed, you will value it much more than the first 5 times you tried. Because you know in that 11th time, where what was going wrong and what you did right that you got this. So never be afraid of failure, because life is not always about success. Talk about anybody in the world who we talk about today as the success stories. If you hear them, they've all gone through this. So never be afraid. Take that step. Life is all about challenges. Life is all about experimenting. Experiment so that few years down the line, when you look back, you'll be like, okay, you know what? I did this right. I did this wrong. But this is where I am today. So I think that is very important. So Misal spoke about all these issues, hygiene, sanitation, cleanliness, education for children, quality education for children, skilling, Atmanirbharta, self-reliant women through skill development courses. We've started with painting beautification. People started coming and telling us, we want pink, we want red, we have a wedding coming, there's Ganpati coming, there is Eid coming. So I guess it became like a big family, you know, where you all sit and decide, take a decision about something. So Misal became like that, like a big family together, over 1 million volunteers across India. So I guess that's where it grew from one state to another, to another, to another.
So as students and teens, we sometimes face challenges of time, articulating our ideas, and most importantly, convincing people about our thoughts and ideas. So what were the challenges you faced during your journey?
Well, if you're saying that convincing people is a challenge, we had people who wanted to come and beat us up. So that is like nothing compared to a challenge. So a group of women, I was standing and talking to them in one of our slums near airport. And there was a child with full rashes on his body. And he, small child, I think 4 or 5 years old, on his mother's lap. And because he had rashes, he was not wearing any clothes. So I love children. So I saw him. I said, can I take him? The child came instantly to me. And I touched his back and I spoke to his mother. I said, why does the child have so many rashes? She said, ma'am, because air, we have a little bit of allergies here. And these rashes come because of so much of garbage and, you know, mosquitoes here. So I told her that, okay, next 3 days, we're doing a health camp here. Come, please get him checked and let's see what we can do so that, you know, he's fine. So we were just having a conversation. Child was playing with me. Suddenly we see a bunch of 10, 12 guys coming to us and saying, oh, okay, you know what, pick up your buckets and pick up your bags and go back home. You're not here to do anything. So I looked at him and I said, you know what, why, where have you come from and how is it bothering you? So he said, no, we saw your poster with some politician on the hoarding, your picture with somebody on the thing. So I said, so if I put my picture with the president of India tomorrow or somebody puts it, doesn't mean I belong to her family or her party or something. I said, so you know what? I'm a social worker, not a politician, and I'm not here for this. And the politicians put posters, we don't. But if they put your picture with that, it should not be an issue because, you know, we should all join hands together to work for them. But they just didn't want to listen. And they started abusing my guys and started pushing my guys. So that is when I told them that, listen, you do not touch my guys. If you can talk properly, we will listen. Otherwise, it is not a good thing because no matter what, you cannot get so aggressive. Suddenly, I see a bunch of 20 18, 20 women who I was talking to earlier come towards us and they start fighting with these guys, saying that how dare you talk to her like that? Just because she's giving you respect and talking to you nicely, you are pushing her to a point where she retaliates and she also starts to behave like you are behaving. You see my son, he's got full rashes on his skin. You are supposed to be the secretary of that area. And you have not done anything about the garbage, which is right outside my door, literally. And we were picking that up. And she is, with her team, picking it up. And you are coming and giving her attitude that why she's doing it. They dragged them out. And they said, you dare tell her anything, we will call 200 more people who will come and show you that you live here does not mean you can do your dadagiri here. So I got in, you know, for me, it's always about, it's very easy to get angry. It's very easy to start in an abusive confrontation and all. But that's not what we have gone there for, right? We've gone there to make everybody join hands with us. So I spoke to him. I said, nevertheless, if you're feeling uncomfortable about it, we'll stop the work here today, but we will come tomorrow. And you come and meet me and let's talk what is bothering you. So next day he came, he spoke and apologized and understood what we were doing. I said, there is no political agenda here. There is no commercial agenda here. There's no financial agenda here. So why are you even worried? I said, join hands. You guys are young youth of our country. India is a youth-driven country. We want everybody to be here. Misal is all about youth initiative. So why not? So he then became a part of our team. And then anytime we had any problem in that slum, he was the first one standing there telling everybody, don't you dare say no. But at that time, if I would have gotten angry and gotten into a fight with him, things would have gone absolutely on a different direction. But, you know, I always feel that if somebody is coming with something in his mind, let's understand the mind. Because being a social worker, first thing you need to learn is patience. And you have to understand that you've come from outside, even though it's 15 years of you working there, but they have been there for decades and they've been there for 3-4 generations. So for them, life is much tougher. So you need to understand them. You have to come out of your comfort zone and listen to them. I always say, when God has kept you here, you don't come down 10 steps, you come down 200 steps so that you can understand people. And that is what happened in this case when we got talking. Then he used to get us biryani, sometimes vada pav, sometimes samosa, and treat my whole team. Became a part of our team, actually. Still is. So I think these are the things which matter. It's about human connection. It's about you build a relationship. When I say family, today they are family because if I tell them that there is a little problem here, I want you guys to come, 5,000 people will be outside my house. They'll immediately come. You know, ma'am has called, there has to be something serious. So I think that trust, that love you build over years, when they see that you're not here to take anything, you're here to give and unconditional, then I guess it becomes easy for them. And for them, they've always had people who come to take something from them. So if they get angry, if they get upset, they have a reason. So it's on us how we address it and how we listen to them, because everything can be done with patience, love, and respect that you give each other. So this worked very well. Lots of cases like that, I can tell you, where people would talk about gender equality and they'd say, you know, we don't take commands from a woman. Where have you come from? And so many things. So challenges, of course, big challenges. When you talk about student challenges, they seem very small here. But at that age, of course, they are big for them. But everything with when you can't take a decision at that time when you have to take, I always tell everyone, take a 5-minute break. Just shut everything and just say, okay, fine, you know what? I have to say this, but I will take 5 minutes and 5 to 7 minutes to decide whether I'm doing this is right or wrong. Let me analyze. Let me think. And then when you say something, you will see sometimes the answer will be totally different. So try that and be patient. I think patience is something we all need in tons today.
I totally agree with that. I'm just gonna end this meeting because I don't want your answers to get cut in between.
Are we done with 40 minutes already? Okay.
There's only about okay. four more questions left, and then there's the rapid fire. So I'll just end the meeting and quickly start it again so we can start. I'm so sorry for the inconvenience.
So will you know? Will you send me the link again or the same link?
I'll just I think it's the same link, but I'll just send the link just in case.
Okay, cool.
Thank
cool.
you.
Okay, bye.
So I'll just get back to it. Okay. So when you position of power, how do you know what causes you want to support? Like with Missile India, you touch millions of lives, whether it was hygiene, sanitation, education, women empowerment, health, or even socially. So how has this impacted you, and what learnings has the project given?
Well, my focus is always on quality education for children and empowering our women by making them financially independent. As I always say that you cannot make our women empowered. You cannot empower women till they are financially independent. Atmanirbharta hamari mahilaon ko tabhi aayegi, tabhi milegi jab wo financially independent hogi. So it is very important for them to earn. And the biggest challenge we face is that you've given them a skill, you've trained them to do something. What happens next? How do they start earning? It's like passing out of college, not everyone gets a job. But you keep trying to get better and better and keep looking. So for us, the biggest challenge, I think not just for us, for everyone, the biggest challenge was that what happens later? And that is the reason we launched, along with skilling and training them, we launched different initiatives that you can read on our website, be it Mahila Saksham Yojana, be it Learn and Earn, be it Studio Saksham, back to back. So that they start getting money, financial support, and only then they would be self-reliant. So these are the two initiatives that I really focus on. We don't go too much into health. We don't go too much into food, but we do different workshops to spread awareness, to tell people in the slums and villages what you need to have, like a nutrition meal that you must eat, which will benefit your child's health, woman's health, youth's health. We do that. And that itself, you know, kind of, if you talk about children education and if you talk about women empowerment, it's a, you can say in itself, like one initiative as big as an entire organization.
So unlike other people who get inspiration from luxurious life, places, attractions, your main inspiration are the common people, that's Aam Janta. So how did you connect art with this inspiration?
Well, for me, I'm Aam Janta. I'm common Janta. So for me, inspiration has to come from common Janta. I've been brought up in a very, born and brought up in a very humble family, and my parents have always taught me that no matter how successful, how rich, how powerful, whatever are the terms for being a celebrity one becomes, if you are not grounded, if you don't understand the pain of people, then it's no point having that success, power or money. Because end of the day, I feel money can be earned. I tell youth always that you work hard somewhere down the line, by hook or crook, you will make lots of money. But then, end of the day, what is more important than earning money is understanding the purpose of life. Understanding that with the money you earn, with the drive you have yourself in you to become successful, to be famous, to be financially good, with that, if you add that 0.5% of connecting to people or helping anyone who's around you, trust me, that earning, that success, that power will have far more meaning, and God will give you back tenfold, and you will become bigger and bigger. So it is always important to be compassionate and to have that love for people around you, because end of the day, a life lived with purpose is far more satisfying than anything, because how much of these luxurious goods can you buy end of the day? You know, every season there is a new product that is launched, you get it, but then it's that temporary happiness. But the happiness where you get hugs from children, from, you get blessing from people you have connected to, it's like you get high on another level. So I guess that's very important. Like today I had gone to one of my bastis here for a class, and As soon as I entered, because I was going after 2-3 weeks, as soon as I entered, like bunch of 30-40 kids came in, got on to me, and ma'am, we missed you, teacher, we missed you, ma'am. You know, like literally, it was house on fire. Now that you cannot tell a child to fake emotions. You can't tell a child to say, okay, go hug, ma'am. If the child doesn't want to hug, will not come to you. So that genuineness, that connection is very important. And I think everyone should work towards that. It is very important to earn money. It's very important to have a comfortable life. I am not someone who says that you live in poverty to help people, because you have to also earn enough money to sustain your initiatives, to provide employment to people, to give salaries to them. So it is very important for Ruben Lagi also to earn. Also, not just to give people, but also to have a good life. Because if I'm not happy, if I'm not in comfort, I can't give comfort to others. So I guess somewhere down the line, you have to balance both lives. I also have a child. I have a husband. I have parents. I have my siblings. So as a woman, you play a little bigger role than others, where I say women are multitaskers. They can multitask being a mother, being a wife, being a daughter, being a teacher, being a social worker, being an artist. There's so much on our plate, and I think we are very good at it. It's just here, once we decide we want to do it, I think we can manage. Yes.
Wow. So I'm really actually inspired by all the work you do, even your book you've written, Slum Queen. So when you were younger, who was your biggest role model and how has it impacted you?
Well, I honestly, in my return to Kolkata, and I told you that my journey for art, literally like on ground, started from Shantiniketan, and my father took me to meet Mother Teresa. She used to live in Kolkata. Yes, I know. You know what? The same reaction I always have with myself also, that I wish I had a phone then, or my father had a phone then, and I could cherish those pictures. I was in my school uniform and I remember going and meeting her. She gave me a hug and kiss, and she told my father that, you know, your daughter is blessed and I'm giving her lots of blessings. So obviously I've always been inspired by her, but also in present time, if you talk about who I looked up to, was Sushma Swarajji, because she did speak a lot about supporting women and how women should come forward and being the role model for a lot of women, Indian women. Work hard, be determined to achieve it, but don't get carried away on your way. Like they say, you get glamour stuck. And some people can take it, some people can't take it. So somewhere down the line, find a balance for your passion. Find a balance for your life, where you should try to understand where to stop and where to go ahead. That is very, very important.
I can't believe you met Mother Teresa. That's incredible. So at your TEDx talk at Ambani, you mentioned that taking the first step is the hardest. So how can we empower people and help it and take this first step ourselves?
Well, you can. There are lots of NGOs which are doing great work. You can connect with them online. And today, thanks to the digital world that we live in, I think there are lots of information that is available online. You can register with them, you can volunteer with them. And for students, I always say that, you know, if you have the weekend free, because there's so much to study nowadays also, even in our times. So with that, if you can find between your Saturday, Sunday, take out that 1 hour, whichever organization you have connected to, just go and be a part of what they are doing. It's a great learning process. And I'm glad, because last couple of years, a lot of good schools and even universities from outside have been sending children to us in the slums and villages for internships, for I think it's now compulsory for students of certain grade to come and do some social service on ground. So that has actually been great. A lot of kids come and they say, ma'am, how to do this, how to do that. So I tell them, just forget everything. Just be here, just play with kids. Because slowly and gradually, that itself will start teaching you what you need to teach, what you need, how you need to behave, and how you need, there is no guideline here. Just be yourself, because you guys are kids, these are kids. They are a little younger than you are. But eventually, when you are playing together, discussing something together, even reciting a poem or doing a story reading, you just kind of become like one group. So it's a lot of fun. So anyone who wants to do this, we are more than happy to have volunteer teachers. We have centers across the country. So anywhere in the country you want to join something on ground that you want to do, 1 hour a week, I don't even say give 5 days a week, I say 1 hour a week to start with, that is also amazing, and you're most welcome.
Three tips you can share with us as students on how to develop confidence to speak on stage.
Well, to develop confidence, the most important thing is that you need to believe in yourself. Till I couldn't speak English, I would say I wasn't 100% confident, but I was someone who said that, you know what, it's okay. If I don't understand something in Hindi, I'll tell the person in front of me that, listen, I'm sorry, I haven't understood. In fact, my father took me to one of the army parties, and Lieutenant General uncle there was non-stop talking to me in English, and I still can't remember. I can't forget that day. I was totally blank. So he looked at my expression. He probably understood that she's not understood anything. So he said, then he started using Hindi words. So I told him, I said, uncle, it's really nice of you. In Hindi, obviously, I said, it's really nice of you that you spoke to me so much. But let me be very honest that 85% of it I haven't understood. And only the words you used in Hindi, because I was smart enough to put the sentence together and understand what you were actually saying with those Hindi words, I could understand. He started laughing and he said, I haven't met an honest person like you. I said, you're probably looking at me, you would think that, oh my gosh, she's like, she can understand everything. I said, no, but I have not understood anything. 85% no. And then he started talking to me in Hindi. And then eventually you learn when you go to different schools. So I guess confident, it's very important to believe that where you are, what you're doing is right, and you are open to learning, you're open to suggestions. We should never always think that we know it all. Because trust me, even the small little child in the slum sometimes comes and says and does things, which when you come back, you're like, you know what, I've learned something and come today. So it's not that with age, yes, with age you mature, with age and experiences you learn more, but learning is a process. You can have it every day. Sometimes somewhere you will hear something, you will talk to somebody, and you'll come back home saying that, you know what, I think this is something I need to think about. So it is very important for you to have an open mind and believe in yourself. Whatever language you can speak, whatever you're scared of being on stage. I've always been on stage, and trust me, even till today, I'm like, okay, even during TEDx, I was like, okay, fine. You know, this is like probably a million times I've been on stage, but it's always a different audience. It's always a different atmosphere. So you are nervous, and it is okay to be nervous. But you hold it. You don't show it, and you just go through it, and then you say, okay, I did well. And nobody's here to decide whether you were absolutely perfect or you were not, because we are humans. We make mistakes, we fumble, we speak wrong languages sometimes. Sometimes our vocabulary goes here and there. It is all right. It is okay to make a mistake, because if you don't make a mistake, you are never learning. And own your mistake, because it is end of the day your mistake, and it is you who has to decide how to rectify it or how to become better in life. So never be scared of that. I think that is something we all must follow. It's easier said than done. But if you start practicing it, trust me, you will see yourself as at least not showing your nervousness to people, at least in audience, the most confident person.
So how have your projects and people you work with shaped you as a person, like an individual?
Well, I've learned so much. I learn every day. I learn even today. Today when Junaid came and hugged me and he said, I missed you. And ma'am, I want to tell you that I got A grade in English and I got B in maths. Not that good, but I'll get you A next time. And then I got 17 out of 20. And because you didn't come for 2-3 weeks. So I had to sat him down and I told him, I said, you know what? You know, there are lots of children like you that I have to visit every day, right? But I try and come here as much as I can. And then when I go there, they tell me they missed me and you didn't come for 2 weeks. So I guess it's that love and care. Otherwise, who in this world really misses you today? And, you know, everyone has a fast-moving life. before you know it, you've forgotten the name and you've forgotten the face of the person. But these are a few things which make you understand there is that you see humanity in everything. You know, for me, I've always believed in the saying of Bhagavad Gita that when God, Shri Krishna said, if you want to serve God, serve humanity. And I truly believe in that because, you know, life is a journey. And in every step of it, you will come across people, you will meet people who will teach you something and go. And if you're open to learning, sometimes we are not open to learning because we think we already know it. But always have an open mind because sometimes unknowingly, some things will happen, some experiences will happen where, you know, it will change the entire perspective of how you thought. Like for me to get into social work 100% was my, that art camp where a child had not seen a pencil. And I was like, which world are we living in? You know, when do we decide, Rubal, are you going to be 50 and then think that you should do social work? Definitely not. Let's start in your 20s. So 22, 23, I got into it totally. So over 2 decades now, I mean, I'm 40 plus. So it's been a journey where I think that, my God, is it been so many years? It feels like just yesterday. So I guess you learn, and anyone and everyone who comes into your life comes with the purpose. People who stay in your life for a few months, a few years, a few days will always teach you something nice and good. So I guess that is very important. Have an open mind, have a humble heart, always try to use kind words and look everything through a positive lens. Try to find positivity in negativity. You will not have any negativity around you. And don't compete. Don't be jealous. Because that's not going to get you anywhere. So keep a positive, nice mind. Be competitive in a good way. Where you're competing to do well, you're not competing to pull somebody down. So that is very important. Our students should remember, our youth should remember, our girls and boys who are in schools, in colleges, and all also in jobs should remember. So life is a learning process. It teaches you something every day.
I love the last line, life is a learning process and it teaches you something every day. I think that just sums up the full interview. So now we're going to have a rapid fire round. You need to answer in one word. So one thing you miss about school.
My friends.
One thing that helps you achieve anything you want.
Patience.
Your biggest support.
My husband.
One word that describes the story of you, my podcast.
Beautiful. Inspirational.
What does success mean to you?
Be humble.
What could make your journey unique?
Love of people.
Favorite memory?
Hug from a child when I had just started my work on ground.
Was your family always supportive?
Yes, my husband was always supportive.
The story of you would be called?
Slum Queen.
Advice for young people who are interested in making an impact and touching lives but not sure how to. One word.
Never give up.
Thank you so much. It's been so amazing to talk to you, and I had an
thank you. God bless. Lots of love.